couple minutes if you wanted to present anything to the board.
Okay.
Can we have your name for the minutes?
Emilia Pierce.
E-M-I-L-I-A.
E-L-I-A. All right. Well, Amelia, welcome. So then next to the approval of the agenda, and I would accept a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I move.
I'll second. Thank you, Jim. I'll second. All right. Thanks, Paul. Any questions, comments, additions?
I'm sorry, who made the motion? I miss...
Jim.
Thank Kevin. You.
And then Cole. All right, seeing none, I would ask all those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, thank you very much. And we will move to the secretary's report. Brian?
Yeah, I have a couple things for you here, starting with the minutes that start on page 3. For the March meeting.
And by the way, you know, as I think everybody knows, when we talk about page numbers, we're talking about the page number in the way upper right, even though, you know, some of the documents have their own individual page numbers, we're going to be referring to packet page numbers.
Yeah, in the top right-hand corner. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, I would accept a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
So moved.
Thank you, Luna. Second?
I'll second.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Any questions, comments, changes, additions? Okay, seeing none, I would accept a vote on the motion as presented. All those signify in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, thank you very much.
So next, then, we have the resignation of Janelle Houston, as they have submitted their resignation just the day after our last meeting, and it's best practice for the board to take a formal motion to accept that document.
That's not in our packet, is it?
The actual email that says I am not, no, is not.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Any questions or discussion on the motion? I will accept the motion to accept General's resignation.
I move to
Thank you,
accept.
Jim. All right. Second?
I second.
All right. Thanks, Rochelle. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right. Thank you very much. Brian?
Okay. And then... We have the requests. We have several requests here, and I think that's where our attorney wanted to be here for experience, but formal opinion, council member conflict of interest. And then I also have the communication from council member Clara Martinez reporting her recusal, which is required by the ethics ordinance. So those are the two other items on report. You can take it in, of course, any order you would like.
Well, do you think we should wait for Greg?
I think the Clara Martinez one's a little bit more straightforward, and with Clerk Swope here can help explain if there's a question for those, especially new members, of why we now have this, you know, why we get these communications of recusal. So that's
that
my...
That we didn't use to get. That's okay.
Yeah, so that's my, that would be my recommendation of order.
Okay.
I think we could do that without Greg.
Okay. Then let's go ahead. Which one do you want to take first? Clara's or?
I would, that's your determination, not, So we'll do Clara's.
Okay. Clara's can be done without Greg here.
Okay, and that's on which page?
100.
Thank you.
But it's interesting how sometimes they don't have the packet, something like these. So,
yeah, start from the back. It's numbered from the back.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, the spreadsheets didn't do the header of the page number.
Probably, legal size or some other weird size.
We're starting on page 96.
Oh, they are right. Thanks for your time.
Oh, they're embedded in.
Yeah, it starts on that. Yeah, Ryan's correct. It starts on 96 and ends on, I believe.
Okay. Chris, is there anything that we need to, that needs to come to our attention?
I don't think so. I mean, the city council took a couple of actions related to the school district. Two of them were giving rights of way so that they could do a bus loop. Mm-hmm. And since she's an employee of the school district, it seemed that she recused herself. And then the same thing, the council took action on organization that raises money for the actual school that she works in.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So she recused and did not vote on either of those.
Okay.
Items.
Hey, Greg.
Get you right there.
Introduce yourself.
Sure. Are you ready for that?
Hmm?
Is it? Are we ready?
Just say hi. Your name is.
I'm Greg.
And we have a spot for you right there with the binder right there for you.
And on the agenda, we are to the recusals from Clara Martinez.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't think there's any required action other than that gets presented to you. So if you had any concerns,
okay. So we're just
you could express
it,
them.
It on
and
file, pretty much?
Yeah, just placing on file. But
all right.
If
any questions?
If ever you have a concern about one.
Right. We will entertain those at this time. If anybody has any questions or comments on the recusals from Clara Martinez. Okay. Seeing none, we will just accept those and place those on file.
Do we motion those to place on file? I think someone motions to place on file. Or
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think
just place on file.
Placed on file. Okay.
All right. And what was the second thing?
So it's a request for formal opinion on council member conflict of interest. So the page number for that probably starts way back up.
Yeah.
And I know.
It starts on page 5 and goes through.
Probably 95. Or the last page we started from. Yes, page 5 was. We had several email communications. A request for a formal opinion.
Uh-huh.
And so those are. And any documentation they provided is also is included as well. There was not any validity vetted or anything. I don't know, Chris, anything more on that you want to say?
There were two submissions from one individual there. The first one, that person didn't really provide a name other than this is fine. And they provided a lot of additional materials.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find where the other submission is separate. One is on page 94 and it's just a couple pages. And the other is on page 93. So,
but do you see their similarities in so that we can accept speak to all of them as a group?
They all relate to Councilmember Garza, and they mm-hmm. all seem to relate to raising the question, raising their belief that him voting on the deep green and his position would be a conflict. And,
okay.
One of them, the one the email on page 7 also kind of thinks that extends to other potential city actions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I think I'll listen to anybody, but which I think might legitimize it for our discussion, for our review.
Since Deep Green is moot?
I'm sorry?
Since Deep Green is moot, mm-hmm. is that?
Yeah, so to speak. Right.
Yeah.
But the request remains, even though mm-hmm. the writer acknowledged that Deep Green has removed. All right. So when we receive a request like this, which I think might be the first one that's crossed my desk since I've been here, all right, so can you remind me of our procedure?
I don't know that we formally have one.
Okay.
It's not a complaint. If it were a complaint,
right.
you know, we have the formal steps of that, and it would, of course, be confidential at this point if it were a complaint until we got the attorney's opinion. So, you know, I think it's kind of up to the board. I don't know that the, and I don't know if Greg has any opinion. I don't know that the ordinance has any specific procedures.
Go ahead.
So just speaking at least to the procedure question in front of the board at this point, the ordinance, both the charter and the ordinance are fairly clear. This is a matter that the board may take up and offer an opinion, but is not required to offer an opinion. There's no mandatory process. How you go about formulating your opinion is also somewhat up to you. So that's the threshold question in my mind is this something you want to take up? Is this something you want to offer an opinion on? I will say, because this is not the first time that this question or a variety of this question has been asked to me as the city attorney. It's been asked to me at the dais previously by another council member. And so I don't mind telling you that, I mean, my opinion will not change. Legally, there is not a conflict of interest here by virtue this connection. If it were the case that somebody could allege, for example, that either Councilmember Garza's employer or Councilmember Garza's affiliated union had a contractual relationship and stood to contract monetarily benefit from Deep Green, that would be a different kind of conversation, or from any applicant that's before the city on a matter up for a vote. But the idea and put forth, and I understand where this connection, I mean, I've said this to council members, I understand exactly where this connection is being made in the minds, and it's an ordinary thing, but that's not the way that conflict of interest is defined for the ordinance. Or the charter, or state law, or attorney general's opinions that interpret the state law. And I will say, the state law on this topic does not apply to local officers, so we have our ordinance that does it instead. Okay. But it's almost exactly a mirror of what we have in our charter and then what we go on to describe in our ordinance. So, however the board would like to field that is fine.
Okay.
And I'm happy to... If the board wants to take it up, I'm happy to draft something and bring it back, and you all can see that. But that's a question for you all to determine and talk about.
Okay. Thoughts on this issue?
I think it's
Ryan.
Moot.
Ryan.
I think it's moot. It's the Deep Green project is dead for all intents and purposes. I don't think we can engage in hypotheticals without a fact pattern before us. So okay. I would be of the camp to say this is moot and we just table
all right.
this issue.
Thanks. Anybody else?
I would agree with that. Why go looking into something that's not right?
Yeah, and I see Charles nodding.
Well, I've heard rumors that Deep Green's not going away, that they are going to be making another proposal.
And at that time?
Different parcel.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then the follow-up issue was that they wanted us to decide whether Mr. Garza should be unable to vote on any issues involving any type of construction contract is the way I read it, that would involve union workers is there a requirement that every city construction project or contract given out by the city for any construction has to be union?
There's absolutely not a requirement. In fact, it would be illegal for us.
Then I don't think we need to address anything.
Yeah.
Duda?
Yeah, I mean, I get the intention of like looking at it and just for, you know, to say we did it and we looked at it and made a decision, but I don't think it's going to change anything. It's okay.
All right, thank you. Cole, Rochelle, anything?
I don't see any reason to move forward with it, just based on, like, it's not in the charter. It doesn't say that we need to, so why?
Yeah.
Why not? According to what
okay.
I said.
Cole, anything?
I'm comfortable with what the others have said. I don't see a reason to do it any differently.
All right. I agree with the majority. You know, they're asking us for a preemptive opinion, you know, on something that hasn't occurred yet and may not occur.
Correct.
You know,
would we still like send them a response?
I think that would be appropriate. Okay. You know, rather than leave them hanging.
Sure.
You know, do we have a motion then?
I'll move to send them a response.
That's my question. I don't know
how to stylize
it.
I think we should generate a response.
Yeah,
so I was just going to jump in for you if you want.
Yeah,
please jump.
Yeah, Chris, how did he mean to word
I think the motion would be to respond to the people who had submitted, indicating that the Board of Ethics does not believe that there is an issue presented at this time.
At this time, I think is an important phrase.
Should be reviewed by the board.
Okay, and that was your motion, Cole?
Exactly. I would only say that it should be clear that not that there isn't any reason for us to, or not that we're not. How do I say that?
It's not right.
We're just not at this time. We wouldn't. You know, I don't want to make it sound like we wouldn't in the future. But this time we don't see a reason to do that.
All right,
and I'll second that.
According to what Greg was saying, though, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
That's even in the future. That's not something that we would need to cover. Did I understand you correctly?
Correct. You're not required to offer an opinion on questions like this.
All right.
But I think not being required is different than we might still decide to do it, or could still decide to do it, right? I mean, so I would want to say we won't, because we might see different facts that would say we do want to do that.
Yeah.
But so right now we're saying we're not interested for now. Mm-hmm. Something like that is what I would think.
Okay. Brian, are you comfortable that you had the motion as presented?
I'm recording all this is time. I got the presented at this time is really critical, but I guess one time more either Chris or Cole, you will not make a request an opinion or will not provide an opinion? Will not provide an opinion
at
this time?
If the motion passes and you... put together some correspondence. You want to put that together for my signature? Can you sign it? What do you think?
I mean, historically, the secretary has done the correspondence of the board, and so, yeah, so I...
All right. Nope. I totally
think that's what...
All right, so we'll take a second to the motion that's presented.
I'll second the motion.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Further questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. All right, thank you very much. Moving along, next thing out is the new business. We have the affidavit of disclosure from Joseph, is it Sterley? And what page is that on?
101.
Thank you. Questions or anything on here that you wanted to bring to our attention, any member wanted to bring to our attention? A police officer who also does personal training as a 100% self-employed person.
I would move to place Joseph Sterl's affidavit of disclosure on file. I haven't found a violation of the ordinance or other issues to further debate or discuss at this time.
Okay, thank you, Cole. Second. Thank you, Jim. Again, any questions, comments on this? Yeah. I agree. You know, unless the police department signed a contract with him to use his services as a personal trainer, you know, I don't see that anywhere. So I think we're good. All right. Hearing no other questions.
Interesting that paragraph 12 is the explanation why you didn't. There's a conflict that would be important to keep on record if you end up with another person mowing lawns while on duty.
Mm-hmm.
So if he shows up late to work and he's got BO and his tank muscle shattered on, we should maybe quit. All right. Hearing no other questions or comments, all those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Thank you. Thank you very much. For a 145-day packet, we're doing pretty good.
So the statements of financial interests.
Yes.
Just there, we have several new people, so this is a nice taste, an hors d'oeuvre, as you say, because we have 50 of these we'll be reviewing. But the first three, we do have a hard copy here if you want to review, but they're not in your packet for Jake, Dennis, and Melissa because they have put none. Okay. We don't do NA anymore, if there is, as recommended. So everyone, until there is nothing to review.
Right.
If you wanted to double check to see that, we do have the hard copies here, but
okay. No, did not put them in the. Condensation,
Right. Other people. So then we start then with Peter Spadafore's, which is on page 107, packet page 107.
Answer questions. So
go ahead, Cole.
So for those, we don't take any action on them. They're just not.
Oh, we do take a motion. I think you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Cole,
individually
yes.
Or as a group?
That's what I
think it was a group. It was like one collective motion that.
Okay. Be interested in entertaining a motion to that effect. Anyone?
Well, since I opened my mouth.
That'll take it.
I move to place Jake Brower's, Dennis Parker's, and Melissa Glasgow's statement of financial interest on file, having found no violation of the ethic ordinance or other issues to further debate or discuss at this time.
Thank you.
Cole. Second. Thank you, Luna. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so now we'll go to Peter Spadafore's as you review this on page 107 through whatever. Any questions or comments on Peter Spadafore?
Do you know what the acronym MASO stands for?
I thought it was something about counties.
Schools.
Michigan Association of School Officers, I think.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Thank you both. There you go. Yes.
I do say that. I wish we could get out of that habit. I wish that we could require them to spell that out in there so we don't have to ask questions like that. It really should be transparent. And so I would encourage in the future, if that's like that, we should send it back and have them get the full name.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of transparency and clarity.
Yeah,
I'd agree. That makes sense. Okay.
All right. So noted.
And that would go for any acronyms like that we need to understand what they go to, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Do a lot in mental health, and there's like hundreds of them.
Yeah. Oh, my God. When I went to work for the police department, the acronyms were just amazing.
We do try and look and try and catch them ahead of time, so we can look for the acronyms as we do a review and before they kind of walk away and get updated before we do with a notary. Try and catch that, but yes, certainly
with the rights. All right, so do we have a motion on Mr. Spadafore's statement of financial interest?
I'd move to place Peter Spadafore's statement of financial interest on file, having found no violation of the ethics ordinance or other issues to further debate or discuss at this time.
All right, thank you, Jim. Do we have a second?
A second.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Further questions, comments on Peter Spadafore's statement of financial interest? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. All right, thank you very much. And now we are going to
discuss mine from the main.
Christopher Wright from the Treasury Department.
Page 114.
On page 114, you didn't answer the question under part one.
Yeah, you're right, Michelle. Yeah, I noticed that. And I don't think we can speculate on what the answer is. You know, I'm familiar enough that, you know, I believe the City of Grand Rapids and the City of Lansing are completely independent organizations that don't have contracts with one another, but it would be nice to hear that from someone who works for both. Mm-hmm. All right, so.
Worked for both. He left Grand Rapids to come here. It's past.
Right. Okay, past 12.
He, okay. Yeah.
I,
and, yeah.
Okay.
So he's not there anymore. He left there to come here.
Okay. All right, but still he should be aware of any contracts between the two. And Greg, is there any way that we can verify that?
We can. I will say we have no contracts with them, but it would probably be, I mean, since this is a sworn statement, it would be appropriate to send it back and get him to check the box that says no. So right. We've got it from him. But I know the answer is no.
Yeah, no, but I agree. No. Go ahead, Cole.
So that said, I'll make a motion to request that Christopher Wright, make the requested and necessary changes to the Certificate of Financial Interest and return it to the board for consideration.
All right, thank you very much. A second?
I'll second.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Further questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, thank you very much.
Next one we got to look at really closely.
Yeah, this next one, okay, and it starts on page 122. This is
new.
It is, and it's interesting.
This has always been blank before.
Here is someone submitting their statement of financial interest who didn't sign it and didn't have it notarized.
That's the wrong copy.
Do we have all the copies here?
So the one that I saved for my personal, I put it in the, if you want to send it back, but.
Yeah. Quick, sign it right now.
See, here is the notarized, signed and notarized version. But we can send it back and deal with it next month,
or we can accept a motion to accept the revised version. I suppose.
Can we just pass it around?
Yeah, you want to pass it around?
Make sure it says all the same things.
Sure. Yeah, if you want to look at it. Sure.
Sure, there's no changes.
I mean, I didn't. See, you can tell the part where Duncan didn't double-check it and I didn't have Duncan, then the mistakes happen.
Duncan.
No, because he covers me all the time, so I appreciate that. Is a motion required to, or that is, because that's not part of the packet?
Item,
move to substitute?
It's a change in the packet.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This corner of the table was wondering.
This corner of the table?
Yeah. To remove any possible, even appearance of impropriety, while we're considering Mr. Jackson's statement of financial interest. So I would ask the city attorney as well, should he step out while we consider?
Fair question. He doesn't have to step out. He can still be here, but because it's a public meeting.
Yeah.
So that's fine, but I suppose somebody else should temporarily handle the paperwork or make the notes of the item in the minutes. Although he's recording it all. Yeah, that would be most appropriate.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to pass the pen or something.
All right. So do we have a motion for our consideration?
What are we considering?
Whether to approve this or send it back for completion.
Well, what was handed around is completed.
Yes. Yeah.
It didn't go this way, though.
And a copy has not been provided to this body.
Okay.
Or to the public who got the packet.
Or to the public.
Website.
I'll wait until you and other members see it before I make my
motion. Okay. Yep. That's just myself and Luna. So now do we have a motion for action? Jim?
Mr. Chair, I would move to place Brian Jackson's statement of financial interest on file, having found no violation of the ethics ordinance or other issues to further debate or discuss at this time.
And maybe your motion says due to the missing information being provided already. Because it's not in our packet.
Mm-hmm. But it's on file.
It's not.
It's on file, but just not in our packet.
Right, yeah.
It's still a publicly available document.
Okay, all right. So we will accept that motion and ask for a second.
Second.
All right, thank you, Luna. Are there questions, comments, revisions? Go ahead.
It's just a question. I don't mind what we're doing, but there will be dissonance between what somebody might have seen in a packet and what we're proving. Do we need to make some acknowledgement of that in the motion or in the minutes to say that we viewed it on file?
I mentioned maybe we want to add a couple words to the motion.
I don't think we should just pretend like we saw the right one.
I withdraw my motion and make a new one. Having had the opportunity to review the amended statement of financial interest, I move to place Brian Jackson's disclosure of statement of financial interest on file, having found no violation of the ethics ordinance or other issues to further debate or discuss at this time.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Then are you interested in seconding this?
Second.
All right.
So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Hey, you are welcome. So we have a legitimate motion and a second on the floor. Further questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion as stated signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, thank you very much.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. So now we have Mark Lawrence. On page
129.
All right. Questions, comments? Do we have a motion on the statement of financial interest from Mark Lawrence at the mayor's office?
I was just curious. He's chief of staff of what?
The mayor's office.
The mayor's office. But he's also an income shareholder.
Yes.
Foster Swift.
His wife is an attorney.
Pardon me?
His wife is an attorney.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, that's his immediate family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Greg, this law firm is on the list of approved law firms for the city of Lansing.
I didn't know how he could do both.
Yes. Right. It is, but we have, and we'll never have, her on retainer, just because her area of law is not what we play around in.
So your retainer is for individuals and not just the firm in general?
Correct. When we have a matter that comes before us, we either enter into some kind of engagement letter for that specific matter. We don't have any standing matters open with any law firm, I think.
But not only that specific item, but you name an attorney within the firm.
Yes, an attorney or a practice group. Okay. Somebody is always the principal on the matter, and then there will be associates and things.
Okay, and if that were ever Mr. Lawrence's spouse, you would be notified?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I have to sign off on it, and I would not let that happen.
All right. Thank you for your comments.
Sure.
Are there questions or comments or a motion to be made? Yeah, Charles.
Part five. I wonder, to avoid having to ask the question, is this person a member of the Foster Swift Collins firm? Should there be a provision somewhere that says spouse or cousin or uncle?
No, I agree. I think that's a good question. Is this his spouse? Is this his kid? Is this his mom?
All
right. Cool.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this isn't the first time we've had a discussion about this form and clarifying things like this, and I really hope we'll get to that business, because this comes up all the time. I would like to see something. That's a simple clarification to this form. I would like to have known who that person was.
And Chris, this form is put together by your office?
You have to approve any changes to it. So yes, okay. It's put together by us. All right. We've amended it, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 times since I've been clerk.
Okay, so we've got 2 things on the floor. We can have a motion that has to do with Mr. Lawrence's statement of financial interest, or we can have a motion asking the city clerk's office to revise the form. Somebody want to make one of those, or?
I wasn't making a motion or implying. I just was stating a comment that I would like to see us look over these forms again and see if there's some ways we can improve them.
My recommendation would be to wait till this round of them is over because they've already been sent out. Everybody's mm-hmm. been notified. We don't want to change versions halfway through.
That's true. Okay.
People submitting them.
Okay.
And
right.
So, in the past when we've done it, it's kind of like after we see all the problems in April and May, we figure out what changes we want to make. So
do we need a motion and then table the motion or just try to remember that
we can just say that as an item of new business, maybe after we finish the ordinance where we
All right. We would ask for that to be on a future agenda item.
Okay.
That's all right. Thank you.
I move to place Mark Lawrence's affidavit on file having found no violation of the ethics ordinance and other issues to further debate or discuss at this time.
Okay. Support. Thanks, Robert. All right. Thanks, Jim. So further questions or comments on Mark Lawrence? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, thank you very much. So the attorney's report. Greg, you know, as is our practice here, please keep it to like 30 minutes.
Okay. I will say, what does the attorney usually report? Most things I would talk about are things that are in front of you as items of business that you've either already talked about or are about to talk about. And I'm happy to discuss those. No report at this time. I will reserve my time.
All right, thank you very much. All right. Next thing is on the chair's report, and I just
baby reports is usually actually what we've been hearing from attorneys lately. So there's no
none.
No new changes in your family that you might care to share.
For the chair's report, I really wanted to comment. I wanted to thank Brian and Patrick and the board in general, except Brian, you know, I wanted to thank all of you for the last year and a half for your willingness to, you know, go into some of the minutia that is our calling, you know, to look at the ordinance, to look at the procedures, you know, to do all that, to open up books, to open up information that hasn't been opened up for years. Your willingness to do that over the last year and a half has been very much appreciated, and I think it's been very productive. So thank all of you, except Ryan.
Please make sure that makes it to the minutes.
I'm Brian.
All right, so no items have been tabled, but we do have some unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And that is to continue our review of the ethics ordinance, and that document put together by Brian starts on page
136.
Yep. Brian, good job. You know, just to remind everybody, we had discussed that we were not going to present this to council with a recommendation. The recommendation was not to approve these changes, but the recommendation was that council needs to review our proposed suggestions and come up with their own. Is that fair?
That's the way I recollect it, Mr. Chair.
All right, thanks, Jim. Brian, I just think you did a stellar job, and I have no questions or comments on any of the red line that you did. Anybody?
I had a few.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I go first. I don't want to interrupt. So on extended family, I think.
Okay, what page are you on?
This would be page 137.
Okay.
So it says aunts, uncle, or first cousins of an individual. I agree, aunt and uncle need to be included, niece and nephew need to be included, but we also need grandparents, I think. Mm. I would view grandparents as an extended family.
And grandchildren.
And grandchildren.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think that's good. And I hear sort of a consensus that that's... Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
If I may.
Yeah.
Brian worked on this. It's very good. Our office got to look at it as well.
I kind of figured.
We do ordinance review, and we just kind of figure out how can we break these things. And I have some recommendations along those lines. I heard pretty clearly from Patrick's report that there's a desire to tighten the extent to which family applies. And that was my first observation as well. What about grandparents? Mm-hmm. Like, the number one person I get cash from until is a grandparent. And as I get older and they get older, it's a larger amount of cash. And so that may be a problem. My recommendation, because then we started saying, what about this and this and this and this, is, again, this is for the attorneys that are going to be either explaining it or trying to apply it into the future. I'm a really big fan, and I understand it's very boring and dumb-sounding, but degrees of consanguinity is countable. There's a chart. And so if you want to say, like, the third degree of consanguinity, which is from me, you can count, like, okay, my sibling is 1 degree, their kid is 2 degrees, their kid is 3 degrees. My parent is 1 degree, my grandparent is 2 degrees, and you just, it's just a chart, and you can literally point and count. It's not very exciting, but it's very easy to apply, and it captures that. I think you want 3 degrees. When we were looking at it, 3 degrees of consanguinity gets to like aunts and uncles and cousins and stuff like that. I'm happy to, I don't have the chart in front of me, I should probably point that out. But the recommendation, because what I heard was that there was a desire to tighten what is family from whom you can receive a gift. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that there was some recognition or need to recognize adopted family who may not be falling within consanguinity. They're not your blood relation, but they are your legal relation. Mm-hmm. And so the sort of proposal for that would be consanguinity to yourself or to your spouse, and include consanguinity or sort of legally approved relation. And I say that because adoption is that's a legal process, but mm-hmm. then you are that person's legal relation. That would be my recommendation. And then you don't have to define extended family, which then, right, how exactly do you do that? But that's sort of, that was what we came back with as to this. I have a couple of other comments, but that's the first big one.
All right. And if there are any members of the board who agree, disagree, what we might want to do is not pass this along to council at this time, but consider this our first draft. Do we have a motion to make changes to this particular section?
If we're just tweaking a draft, do we need a motion to make tweaks of this? Or I'm not sure what you're asking, but to just go through what you're
doing. I'm not sure if we need a motion or not.
I think it would be better if we just go through all of our changes at the end.
Okay.
A motion to ask Brian to circulate a fresh draft.
Yeah, that's
I think that would be a better
one. It sounded good to you, Brian?
Yeah, that would be fine. I wasn't quite sure where all consanguinity is in one place or multiple locations. Now that I have the...
And I have one comment, too.
Yeah.
If we're reopening our forms through Chris's office, we could explain what third degree means to a person filling it out. Mm. Because most people aren't going to read, to be honest, most people are not going to read the ordinance. They're going to follow the instructions in the form that we give them.
If I may, we can very easily draw a chart that excludes everybody that is not the third degree, so there would literally be a graph, or
a family tree.
Yeah, literally, and then there's a circle that says you, and then the people related to you.
Right. But I think Ryan's comment has to do with we need to let people know that before they're asked to fill out.
I mean, include that as an attachment to the affidavit or the statement of disclosure.
Yeah. All right.
policy.
Cool.
I just would say we talked a lot about this, and the legal minds know more than I do about what's really important to be in here. But the reason we got to where we were about trying to extend family was clarity for anybody. Average person reading it isn't going to know what that means.
Sure.
And so we have to balance, and it, again, I guess it depends on who's mostly going to be reading this and needing to understand it. But I would be, if we're going to keep in, whatever, however you say it, sanguinity, whatever, that we do have something available for people to understand exactly what that means at a quick read, whether it's a pictograph or, you know, paid one, you know, whatever.
Right. And I think I heard Greg offer to do that, just that.
Yeah, my preference would be that, have that language included in here, so it's right with where it's actually right here. I mean, I shouldn't have to read this and go, oh, I wonder what that means. I guess I have to go way over here and find out what it means.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Sure. So it should be incorporated in the same document, usually. That's what I would hope for.
Yeah. All right.
I was wondering about, under the definition of gift, is like anything of value, we don't put an actual value on that, and I don't know if we can be clear with that at all. Like, I mean, is a friend giving me a magnet from their trip overseas, you know, versus, yeah.
You get $500 magnets from your friend?
No. does it have a...
Later on in the...
Oh, okay.
It has a five.
Yeah, the threshold, yeah.
But it doesn't.
The definition is.
It does annually, yeah.
Right, but there's a threshold is separately.
Okay.
From the definition.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Does that work?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Leonard. Yeah, Ryan.
One of the things I noticed, too, is gift is defined, loan is defined, reward, contribution, goods, and services are completely undefined. My personal viewpoint is reward and contribution are synonymous with gift. Mm-hmm. I think it's surplusage, to be honest, to use reward and contribution separately from a gift. I think they're one of the same. But I don't know if contribution, when this ordinance was adopted, meant a political contribution. I'm not sure.
Where are you seeing the word contribution specifically?
So let me... It's used...
And I only say that because...
290.04, and then A is the first reference. Any gift, loan, money, goods, services, contribution, or...
I will say, in that context specifically, it is talking about campaign contributions. Because then, it's later, but contribution and expenditure is used, down in, 290.04 sub C,
mm-hmm.
Which is on page 139. If you get down to the second to last line, contribution is, mm-hmm. yes, contribution is used there, but then down here, contribution or expenditure required to be recorded under, that's the Campaign Finance Act. And those are the terms of art used in the Campaign Finance Act and in reporting as contributions and expenditures.
Okay.
So I would recommend keeping that word.
All right.
For that context.
Okay. Ryan, you're good with that?
Yeah, no, I'm good with that. I'm just trying to.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so we've picked a couple of things apart. What's next? Jim?
Mr. Chair and members, maybe this is going too deep into the woods.
No, that's Cole's job.
It's a badge of honor. I wear it for a week.
In reading also the stuff about consanguinity and whatnot, it came across a non-monetary gift. And that's, I didn't fly spec this, but I did my review. I didn't see if that was defined or should we define it. Non-monetary gift, does that mean a gift that's not money?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because if I buy you lunch, I had to pay for it, but okay. I mean, it's we'll strictly construe that then instead of broadly construe it.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, that's how we have always read it when we're looking at it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Fair question.
I'm, never mind.
Okay, no, we're good. You know, that's what we're here for.
Yes.
And I appreciate everybody looking at this in advance and having your questions and comments ready for us. Next,
Mr. Chair.
Cole.
290.04C. I just don't remember. It didn't seem like we made a change in this version of anything related to the $50. I know we talked about the idea of perhaps putting some time frame in that week, because we talked about how does that mean, does that prohibit $50 a day, $50 a week, $50 a year? We had a conversation about that.
Yes.
That it wasn't clear, like I could give you $50 today and I could give you $50 next week and it would all qualify. But I thought we had talked about making some change to that. Maybe we decided not to.
We decided that we would not, but since we're not recommending specific changes, we're asking for council to revise this as they see fit based on our concerns.
So how are we going to communicate that
to
council? How are we going to say we have concerns? We don't know what you want to do, but we're not sure this is what we want.
What do you think? When we present this document to council, are we going to
have... I thought there was somewhere else we found there was an annual.
Yeah. And there's an annual, $500, right?
$500. Yeah. Right. And I think we tied that
maybe
in.
Maybe we said that was enough. Well, maybe we said as long as it's no more than $500.
I say non-monetary. Yeah.
I will say the other place that it is, 290.08 sub F sub 4, so it's on packet page 142 near the bottom, in the affidavits of, or the statements of financial interest, any person who received gifts or honoraria having an aggregate value in excess of 500. So that idea of an aggregation, so if I get $50 every day, after 10 days, I have to disclose that I have that relationship.
Maybe that's where we landed. I couldn't remember. We did talk about that.
Yeah.
I think that was my recollection, is that we realized there was a cap somewhere else, so we didn't have to have the cap there.
And, from my perspective, I like that it's not so much a, this is bad, this is not bad. It's a, now you have to disclose it. And then this board sees it and gets to talk about it.
I'm fine with that. I just couldn't remember where we landed.
Well, should this section then on page 142, when it talks about $500, signify that that's an annual?
It says, so this is the
state of calendar years, year.
Annual,
Nope, I'm speed reading again, which always gets me in trouble. All right, next item.
I had one thing on 104D or new D, non-monetary gift having a value in excess of $500. And I wanted to make sure.
What page you're on?
Sorry, I'm on page 139.
Okay.
You're on D, so D?
Yeah. The added
D.
I think I understand what the intention is, but I want to make sure that I understand correctly. Because the idea of
next version will do that.
So, for example, C. It is possible that somebody could receive something that is worth more than $50, but it is not intended as a quid pro quo, and the board could determine that it's not a quid pro quo and that it's not a violation per se, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I didn't know if this is trying to say that any single one-time gift that is more, because a gift over $50, you're going to have to talk about, right? So is it saying a gift over $500 is absolutely forbidden, or is it saying a gift over $500, much like a gift under $50, is presumed to be okay? Or do you want to say that a gift over $500 is presumed not okay, but that somebody can rebut that presumption? I only say that because if somebody's got to bring it forward and say, oh, I got this gift over $500 or $500 or more, is that outright wrong, or do they get due process on the topic?
Okay, so something more than just requiring it to be recorded.
Because if it's, because this is outright prohibitions. This is saying, so here, right here, this is not a statement that, well, this is not where I would put a statement that if I get a gift of 500 or more, I have to tell the board about it. This is saying if I get a gift of 500 or more, it's bad. I've committed a crime.
Are you suggesting that instead of saying it is evidence? Well, it's saying it's evidence of a violation. You're saying it should be a rebuttal. It creates a rebuttable presumption.
That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. So it's presumed to be a violation unless rebutted. And I can give you the words for that. We've got it in a dip. I don't have it right in the tip of my finger, but we were bandying that about. But it's okay if you, I mean, technically you could make the recommendation to the council. Council could adopt to say any gift over $500 is verboten.
I don't.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't like a hardline approach to that. Like, the situation that I would think of is, like, a friend giving you a car because your car died or something like that. You know, I wouldn't like a real hardline, absolutely not type situation for
that. Did your friend give you that car as a friend or because they're trying to make you vote a certain way?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. No, I see that. Right. So I guess whatever the group wants in that direction.
Well, how about if we ask Brian to work with the Office of the City Attorney to come up with a different language there?
Different language to do what?
To make it less automatically punitive.
So you would like it as a presumption as opposed to an outright prohibition?
Yeah.
Okay. As a presumption. Is that what we want? The language revised?
Yeah. We don't want to presume that it's a violation.
We want to presume it. We just want to make it rebuttable.
Yeah.
Unless somebody able to argue against it.
Yeah.
Good.
What does rebuttable presumption mean, or how does that carry out?
Sorry. A rebuttable presumption is if if evidence is introduced that I received a gift of $500 or more and I say nothing, I'm in violation. If evidence is introduced because it is presumed to be the case, and if it's unrebutted, then it stands. If evidence comes in that I have received a $500 gift, and I come forward and I say, oh, here's what actually happened. My car broke down. My friend lent me their car. It has nothing to do with my job. I'm not voting on this or anything else. The ethics board could determine, oh, that's actually not a violation of the ethics ordinance. You were not induced to take an action by receipt of that gift.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything else?
The only other thing, it's later at the end, and this is the... my office locking horns with Chris's office.
Cool.
I didn't hear about this.
No, not really. It's not actually a conflict. I would like notice to be much easier to be given in all things. I would like electronic notice to be the preferred manner of notice. Mm-hmm. However, I must counsel against in on page 144. 290.08 sub I sub 2 shall notify such person by electronic delivery. If we say electronic delivery and certified mail, that's good. I've got to have certified mail in there because we're going to talk about starting the process to take away somebody's either elected or appointed position. And so I need... when they don't like that and sue me about it, sue the city about it, I have to defend the city and your all's action. I want the certified mail so that this is when we went to battle against Centerfolds, the strip club where people kept dying. They said, oh, but we didn't get the notice. And we said, yes, you did. Because we had the certified mail return that said, I know that you got this notice. I'm sorry that you didn't read it until after the hearing was over, but you got the notice in time. And I will want to know that they got that notice saying, look, you're in violation.
So you would like us to keep and certified mail?
Yes. For
both one and two?
One and
be
two.
For both sub one and sub two?
Is that the only other one? Yes, it's one and two, I think.
Got it.
But you're, just to make sure, because this is, I don't have the, we don't need to lock horns over that.
Fair.
My issue is on page 143, H subsection 2. Because it's silly that I mail you a little postcard.
That is, right, that one I don't care about.
Okay.
First class mail.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I just got that postcard, by the way. Yeah.
System works.
Okay. No, I'm fine with that change.
So we're unstriking certified mail.
Yeah, in those two instances.
Correct.
One subsection I, both one and two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gets added to section one, but yes.
Yeah. And. All right.
One other thing, small thing. Brian will probably see this, but on that same page, page 144.
Yeah.
There's two bears. By electronic delivery of their.
Is her her bear?
Failure to file.
Oh, they're there.
By the specified date.
I don't know. You see where she's talking about?
Okay.
Page 144.
Got it.
I-1. Second line.
Well, it's better than no there.
Second line?
Got it. Understood. Yep. Okay, yep. We're taking it out.
Double warning.
Yep.
All right, thanks for help.
So my question, if there are any, is going back, we're switching it to third degree?
Yep.
Okay.
We will give you a chart to embed.
Can we,
yeah,
can
I was
we embed
we,
the chart in the ordinance?
Yeah.
Like we do with zoning?
Yeah.
Cool.
That would be good to say. We figured that out with zoning.
Can we at least give the definition
the ordinance
of that
definitely
word
doesn't have no
on the same page?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Because, that, like you said, that was the reason why we started
the whole thing. Okay, so back in definitions, we're going to add that to the definitions.
Yeah, that'd be a good place.
It's pretty famous.
Under definitions.
I know.
That's right.
Sure, that'd be great. And then we'll switch wherever it says five to third.
Cousin of their parent that they were close to when they were drafted.
I looked like very scientific and thorough Jim Cavanaugh. Googled relationships and I think fourth degree of consanguinity was first cousin. At least under, what was it? The civil law of computation, which was in here, computation method.
Yep.
Cousins were fourth degree, and then second cousins were sixth degree. So I was wondering if you're a first cousin
once removed,
you're right. Fifth degree.
Yeah.
So
that's about 500 people for me.
I mean, that would be the offspring of your first cousin.
Or your parents' first cousin.
Parents' first cousin.
Just a quick question.
Yeah, cool.
Did you mention the how do you say the consang? But a consanguine doesn't apply to adoptive or other legal relationships? Is it strictly mean blood relationships? It does mean blood relations.
Yes, blood.
And so that's because I noted that we didn't have a definition for domestic partner, and then also I know there was discussion about adoption, which is, I think, adoption was referenced in the media. I can look at that. But I heard from Patrick that there was a desire to make sure that the language that we use is more inclusive of non-traditional blood relation and family model.
Legally approved or legally recognized or...
Yeah.
And we can... That's a thing that we can do.
Okay.
See, that's a tricky one for me. Like, the closest person in my family isn't blood related or legally adopted.
Oh, mine too. I've got three kids and two of them are adopted. All right. Do we have anything else for the good of the order?
Well, I think we have a motion then to take all the edits that we've discussed. And we need
a
motion.
Bring back the draft.
Do we need a motion to say bring it back, or do we not need a motion yet?
I think since it's still a draft, we probably don't need a motion.
Yes. Maybe just the minutes will reflect that we discussed the first draft and look forward to the second, based on concerns brought up.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not approving anything. We're just going to continuing our business.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Very good.
All right. So we look forward to the city clerk's office and the office of the city attorney working cohesively together.
Good job, you too.
He takes my calls.
I
take his. I don't know.
All right.
I
provide answers.
We have a motion on the floor. Second. We have a second.
We have to take a motion. Oh, yeah. It was a discussion.
There's no discussion. Yeah. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. $145 page document. And we got
good. Bring it on.
Look at it.
The next one will probably be about that big.
So the vacancy is a precinct or mayor?
Mayor.
Mayor.
All right. So make sure he chooses somebody that works well with us.
That's a pregnant pause.
I thought, yeah.
It's always been a great group.
Yes, it has.
I think we are at the most attorneys right now ever.
Fun.
Since I've been here.
You'll get through it.
So, okay, I just saved the version 3, so
okay.
Markups. And but OCA were flagged.
Yep, I've got going stars next to a bunch of little gibberish that I just click my pages. So.
Yep, so
we've got ordinance review this Friday. We can dig into it and play with it.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you, everybody. We're adjourned.
Thanks.